in the book of Romans. You've been on a journey. Amen? And you have discovered, you've learnt about the redemptive work of Jesus Christ in many areas. Paul is an amazing man of God who had a love for discipling, people. You know, you are called, I am called, to come to know the Lord, our Saviour and Lord, but also to be discipled. And the reason that we are to be discipled is because God wants to use you and he wants to use me. It's no use reading this beautiful gospel and be fascinated by the word of God, which it can fascinate us. It does fascinate us. It inspires us. But unless we put this word into practice, it's just a word. You are called to be discipled. Paul was preparing to visit a church in Rome. And he's basically building on what he said in chapter 14. He's giving this church in Rome the do's and don'ts of the gospel, in layman's terms. He's saying to them in chapter 15 and in the beginning of chapter 14, do not look down on people. No matter where they're from, no matter what they look like, no matter what they've done. You know, if you look at me, you know, I'm covered in tattoos and, do you know what I mean? And I've got a big scar down there and I've got scars all over my face. And, you know, if I walked through that door and I was a perfect stranger in here, you know, and I would want to walk into this church and I would not want everybody to jump on me, but I'd want people to respect me. Even though I'm full of tattoos, even though I look like a rogue. People have actually said that to me, you know. I need to smile a lot more. That's what they say to me. I need to smile a lot more. And the thing is that in this church, and the reason Paul is talking about this, he's encouraging them, the reason why is because in this church is made up of many, many different people from different backgrounds, there's Jews, there's Gentiles, there's rich, there's poor, there's young, there's old. It's a mixture. Who remembers dolly mixtures? Yeah. Oh, I loved them. Who remembers jelly babies? Yeah. Oh, weren't they lovely? Don't know if you can get them these days, but anyway. But they were so different. They're so different, aren't they? And this church was so different. So you can imagine the challenges that that brought. And you know, Paul's saying there, he's saying, we who are strong must be considerate to those who are sensitive about things, who are weak about things. Now, Paul wasn't talking about a weakness in strength, physical strength. That's a different strength. I've told you about the Polish weightlifting champion, haven't I?
No.
Have I not? No. He won the weightlifting championship of the world. And he went out and he got his gold medal and the reporters came to him and said to him, you're the strongest man in the world. How do you feel? He said, yes, I'm the strongest man in the world, but let me tell you this. Every day I need Jesus. It's a different strength. And so Paul is understanding, is clear on the fact that there's some Jews who are abstaining from certain foods, and there's Gentiles who are eating those foods. And so Paul is speaking to them, not just to the Jews, but he's speaking to them both. He's speaking to the Gentile and to the Jew. Gentile, Don't look down on the Jew just because he's abstaining from certain foods. And Jew, don't look down on the Gentile because he is eating certain foods. Do you see what I mean? Allow what Paul is saying here is allow the Holy Spirit. You know, this is where we really need to grow. We have to be disciplined in not jumping into a fire when we should be standing back and allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and minister in that situation, which causes growth, individual growth. If I come up to you and say, "What? Well, do this, don't do that, do this." Do you know what I mean? I'm going to be a pain, aren't I? You know, but if the Holy Spirit says to you, do this, don't do that, he's more likely to listen to the Holy Spirit than he is to me. Now, I'm not saying we don't give counsel, we don't give advice, but we pray about that. We pray about addressing a certain situation. We seek advice from other people, perhaps the leaders of the church, before we jump in, because we can actually cause division. And the next thing we know, we've got people leaving the church because people are so sensitive. So sensitive. Do you know, I remember at Bible college, I'd only been there, we were called into this room, but I was a first day student. And this guy turned around to me and said to me afterwards, Peter, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, go on. He said, what are you doing here? I thought, did I hear him right? My first, honestly, when I grasped it, I thought, do I give him a right or do I give him a left? Honestly. And do you know, for the next 3 months, all I did was try to please him, to prove that I should be here. And do you know, God pulled me up and he said, Peter, what are you doing? You're trying to please him rather than please me. Go and repent. Go say sorry to him. I went, huh? He should be saying sorry to me. Anyway, I battled with the Lord, went up, knocked on his door, went in and said, look, I need to say sorry, I've had this attitude. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you once said to me about 3 months ago when I first came here, what am I doing here? And I took that to heart. You know, I struggled even to come to Bible college. Let me tell you, it was a struggle, but I got here, and I got here because God sent me. And he went, Peter, I'm so sorry. I apologize. Do you see? Me and him could have really, really fallen out. But we didn't. We actually became great friends. You know, he sang at our wedding, Sarah and I's wedding. And when I left the Bible college and I'm driving up to the gate, he's standing at the gate and he's clapping me out. Can you imagine? Do you know what I mean? Unbelievable. But God, use that situation. You know, use that situation not just to cause me growth, but to cause him growth as well. You know, humility is a gift. To say sorry, it's a gift. We all get things wrong. And so Paul is saying to this church, don't look down on the weak. Don't look down on our, you know, if we put it in a modern day, don't look down on how people are dressed. I was thinking of actually revealing this by wearing shorts today. But I thought, no, better not. You don't want to see my legs. But do you know what I mean? But believe it or not, some people would be more concerned about my shorts than they would be about the lost. I'm sorry. It's the truth. The gospel is not about my shorts, what I'm wearing. It's about getting out there. We're comfortable in here. We're hearing the gospel. But what about out there? Do you know, a church without evangelism in its fabric is like an observatory without a telescope. It's just a room. We need to be out there. Yes, be in here, of course. And that's what Paul's saying. He actually says it later on to them. He reminds them of the truth of the gospel, that it's about the Jews and the Gentiles living together, yes, in the church, but also sharing the gospel. Because I tell you what, let me tell you this. This church is being watched. There's people out there who see you coming and going. There's houses across here. There's people are watching you. People are seeing you. And what kind of light is this church shining in the community? This might be challenging, but Paul, in his letter here, he says, I write boldly to remind you. You know? And this might challenge you. But the thing is this, that God has called you to be discipled. And that doesn't matter how young you are, how old you are. We all need to continue to grow in our relationship with God. Amen? And that's just verse 1. Alex said, I've got 20 minutes. I've done me 20 minutes on verse 1. God is an amazing God. So verses 1 to all the way through to verse 13 is all about attitude. You know, somebody once said, your attitude will determine your altitude. Sarah and I have just come back from Canada. We had an amazing time. Obviously, we didn't get eaten by a bear. We saw a few. But tragically, you've all heard about Jasper. We were actually in Jasper. And now half of the town has burnt down. There's a fire coming. Do you know what? There's a fire coming to this world. You look at the state of this world. You look at what's going on. Lebanon, Israel, Gaza, Russia, Ukraine. It's all kicking off. China ain't got involved yet. Wait till that happens. We are in the last days. And for us as Christians who know the Lord, wow. Wow. I hope and pray, I'm 65. I hope and pray that I get to 90, into my 90s. Whew. You know, who knows? I'd love to see the Lord return, obviously, but wow, the Lord is coming back. And so from verse 14 onwards, Paul instructs this church of reasons for why he's coming. He's longed to visit Spain. All his ministry work is now completed. God is opening a new door. Who likes new doors opening in their lives? Come on. That's exciting. All your hands should open, go up. New doors. You know, when God calls and he opens a new door, wow, we go running through that door. Or we should do. And the thing is that God has opened up this door for Paul to visit Spain. He's longed to visit them. But first, he's got to go up to Jerusalem, bring a gift. He's collected this donation, and he's going to bring it to this church that are really desperate. You know, it's important that we continue to show generosity, just like these Christians have done in Macedonia and around that area. They've given Paul a generous gift to give to the brothers and sisters. It's so important that we continue to do that. Do you know, I really do believe that you and I, we Yeah, we God uses us in all sorts of different ways. We're the body of Christ, as it talks about in Corinthians. The arms, the legs, the head, the feet. We're all part of one body. And we all get used in different ways. Do you know, we've had 1,500 copies of Out of the Ashes. Most of you have bought the book, and praise God. But we've had it printed into Ukraine. We want to send 100 copies, of this book, to an organisation in Hungary that has got a relationship, it has contacts with 80 churches, Ukrainian churches, in the Ukraine and in the Donbass region, which is getting flattened, but all around the outskirts of that, where all this chaos and havoc is going on, they have contacts. We want to send 100 copies. Now, the thing is that I'm asking, this will be a challenge. I'm asking, would you consider sponsoring a copy of this book, for £5, a copy, to go in a shipment out to Hungary so that they can give it to the churches in the Ukraine? If you want to do that, or the church wants to do that, I've got 50 copies here on me, there's more at home. Generosity, we can be used. God uses us all in different ways. And Paul is planning this mission, but he's God has got a mission for you and he's got a mission for me. You should always remember that. You are valuable people of God. Valuable. Doesn't matter, as I say, how old you are, how young you are. It might be prayer. It might be encouragement. It might be serving. It might be doing something in the community. It might be in leadership. There's all sorts of ways in which you can be used. And God loves to use you. It sounds a bit, what is it that word use? But actually, when you're used by God in a kingdom way, wow, it's a blessing. You know, only yesterday I was in Costa and I saw this family of Pakistanis. Now, I'll be honest with you, before I became a Christian, I lived in Bradford and Halifax, and we had quite a big Indian community, Pakistan community. And we used to fight each other over cricket. You know? We used to end up eating each other with cricket bats. It was awful. But, you know, yesterday I saw, and the Lord said, go speak to them, Peter. So I walked over to them and just opened up a chat. And we chatted for ages, And it turned out that she actually I don't know whether she was actually a born again Christian, but she was open. And she said, which church do you go to? I said, I'll go to Elizabeth Baptist Church. Do you know where that is? You know, not leaving it as a dead end question. Do you know where that is? And she said, nowhere, is it? I said, well, do you know Elizabeth? She said, yeah. I said, well, do you know where the post office is? An Indian, I think they're Indian, or they might be Pakistan. They have this post office. Do you see what I mean? Just giving them little feeds. And she said, oh, yeah, I know where that is. I said, well, we're just up there. She said, I looked at this chap and I said, oh, look, you'd be always welcome to come along. I think there were six of them with the children. And they said, we'd love to. They might be there this morning. A little seed. God gives you and me the boldness to plant little seeds that might grow. The little oak seed grows into a massive oak tree. Simple. Plant the seed. You're planting the seed in here. What about planting the seed out there? We'd love to see this church grow. Paul wanted to see this church, and it is growing, but there's issues. There's issues, and those issues need to be sorted out, because let me tell you, those issues could bring a church down. But it's all about being humble. It's all about being prepared to be wrong when you think you're right. For the sake of peace. And so Paul, he shares his reason. His reason for writing, and then he goes on to share about these travel plans, and basically he's saying to them, look, I can't wait to come and be with you guys. I want to spend some time with you guys. And I've spent some time with you guys here, and I've got to know a few of you, and it's great. You're a great bunch of people. But let me tell you this: you need to act on when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You need to act. It's no use just looking at the gospel and meeting in here as a church. You've got to act. If you're really serious about seeing growth, if you're really serious about seeing people walk through that door as born-again believers, not religious people, but born-again believers filled with the Holy Spirit, then you need to act. You need to take risks. Is this church a risk taker? Come on, be honest. You've got to take risks. I remember me and Sarah, when we first got married, I carried a cane table, a cane chair. I bought it for a fiver over at the auction. I was so proud of this chair. Started with nothing. Do you know what I mean? A chair. Wow, look at this chair. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I've got a three-piece suite today. Fair enough. The cane furniture's gone. But we've been on a journey, a 30-year journey, Sarah and I. It's been that. But there's been some risks. Wow. But God has been amazing to us. He sends us around the world. We're used in all kinds of, last Sunday, Sarah and I were in Chelmsford prison, ministering to about 60 men. At the end, I put out an appeal, and loads responded, but one of them came up, put his head on my shoulder, and went, I need Jesus. Let me tell you, Alex will tell you, the prison system is breaking. What an opportunity there is to get into prisons to preach the gospel. And boy, that chaplain, she was so blessed. We're going into schools. We're going into Newport, Liswary High School in September when they come back from holidays. Can't wait to get in there. You know, God has got plans. And Paul is so blessed in this church in Rome that they're growing, and he knows God's got plans for this church. God's got plans for this church too. So in closing, the do's: preach the gospel, share the gospel, let your life be a witness to the gospel, not just in here but out there. And don't be scared of getting it wrong, because we all get it wrong at times. We're not perfect. Only God is perfect. But you are no accident. God has chosen you. You are called. That's why you're here. But it's almost like I'm going to be bold here again. And I'm going to be straight. You might not invite me ever back again, but I'm going to say it as it is. I see this church like a rocket, yeah, that's sitting on its platform, yeah, but it's not taken off, yeah. It's stationed there. The engines are on, yeah. The rocket engines are on, and it's funny how I'm getting this picture here. This is the Holy Spirit. The engines are on, yeah. And God, yeah, God wants to set that rocket off into orbit. Yeah, to reach the stars. To go, what did that Star Trek say? To go beyond?
To go where no man has gone before.
He's watched it. God wants his church to go into places where, like Paul said, that he wanted to go on to Spain, not on someone else's who's been there, yeah, but something new, something where no one else had been. And I believe that's what God has got for you as a church. You're a rocket waiting to be lifted off. Let me encourage you, church. Keep praying. Keep doing the do's. And stop doing the don'ts. Is that right? No, don't do the don'ts and do the do's.
Do the do's.
Get confused, don't it? God is good. And I don't know what book you're going to do next. But I'm sure you've been blessed by the book of Romans. Paul is... pardon? The Gospel of Mark. Amen. Amen. So, just continue moving in the Holy Spirit, continue listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying, and keep awake to what God is saying to you as individuals and saying to you as a church. Let's pray.